Let's head to Hawaii now, because I'm sure you must have seen this over the weekend. Mauna Loa, which to you, some of you may just be a crossword puzzle clue, but is really maybe one of the most famous volcanoes in the world, is the largest active volcano, I believe, in the world, erupted for the first time since 1984, speaking of, you know, a time when albums were popular. So for the first time in nearly four decades, up it goes. There were lava flows shooting up, or lava was shooting 30 to 60 meters high. It doesn't seem to pose much of a threat right now to populated areas. That's the good news. But it started at about 11:30 p.m. local time on Sunday. It's visible from Kona, a place that if you've been to the Big Island or the island of Hawaii, you've been there, a tourist destination on the West Coast. And again, back in 1984, so it's been, you know, 38 years since the last time it erupted. Now, of course, it is spectacular, so lots of people are going to watch it. But it's also dredging up some bad memories for some Hawaii residents who've been through volcanic experiences in the past. Local resident Willette Kalau Kauaku Akima Akau says this volcanic eruption is momentous.
This is the time for our kupuna, for our people, and for our children to come and witness what is happening as history is being made every day.
Now, there are no evacuation orders right now, but they've opened some shelters there just in case. A main highway linking towns between the east and west coast of Big Island, between Hilo and Kona, just had huge amounts of traffic on it because people are stopping to watch, and so on, thousands of cars jamming the highway near Volcanoes National Park. Well, joining me now with more on this is Scott Rowland. He's with the School of Ocean and Earth Science and Technology at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. Thanks so much for your time tonight, Scott.
You're very welcome. Aloha.
This is always such a big deal, but Mauna Loa is sort of one of those volcanoes that that occupies quite the spot in the popular imagination, doesn't it?
I think so. I think partly it's because it has not been as active as Kilauea has during the last 50, 60 years. It's also, I think, most people who follow volcanoes at all recognize it as being the largest active volcano on Earth. So it's got a bit of a mystique.
So tell me about Sunday. It had been sort of asleep for a while. I was going to say dormant, but that's the wrong term, I guess. But it had been, and suddenly activity on Sunday evening. Was there any warning ahead of time as to what was about to happen? Did people know this was going to happen that night?
No, certainly nobody knew it was going to happen that night. However, Mauna Loa had been in a state of unrest for at least a couple months with elevated seismicity and measurable deformation of the summit area. So the volcano was swelling. And so certainly the scientists knew that an eruption could happen. I think most people expected a little bit longer time of elevated seismicity before this particular eruption took place. So as with essentially all volcanic eruptions, it's easy to say that the volcano is in a state of unrest, but it's almost impossible to say the date or hour that an eruption is going to happen.
So the warning signs are there, but there's no definitive ability to predict if and when. I think a lot of people where I am in BC right now think back to sort of Mount St. Helens. Mauna Loa doesn't blow its top, so to speak, right? It's a relatively, it's not explosive, I gather, if I'm using the right term.
that's very correct. Yeah. Mauna Loa and all Hawaiian volcanoes erupt in a very different manner than Mount St. Helens does. And that's because the magma that erupts from Hawaiian volcanoes is hotter and much more fluid and doesn't contain as much gas as that which erupts from Mount St. Helens. So even though there is some gas in the magma, the viscosity of the magma is low, so those gas bubbles can escape relatively easily, and therefore they cannot build up pressure, which would then explode.
And
So it's the expansion of the gas bubbles in the magma that drives the lava fountains that you see on the web. There's some spectacular photos of lava fountains, and I think you mentioned they were 50 meters high or something like that. Mm-hmm. So there's some expanding gas that's driving those fountains, but it's it's able to escape relatively easily, unlike at volcanoes such as Mount St. Helens.
One always thinks of the eruption of the world's largest active volcano might cause a certain amount of panic and concern, but it seems in this case that given the way it has erupted, where the lava flows are going, there isn't a lot of concern right now. At least it's not threatening communities just yet. Why is that?
Well, Mauna Loa is pretty big, and much of it does not have communities living on it. So if there were going to be an eruption of Mauna Loa, the current one is sending lava flows in about the best place you can imagine. It's going down the north flank into an area of relatively low slopes, so the lava flows are going to slow down considerably. And again, there's no inhabited areas nearby. If the lava flows had erupted out of the southwest rift zone instead, then it would have been a much different story. Downslope from the southwest rift zone are lots and lots of communities, mostly small, but the slopes of that part of the volcano are much steeper. So the lava flows that do erupt from the southwest rift zone, based on historic accounts, go a lot faster. And in 1950, for example, lava made it from the rift zone to the ocean in only a few hours. And in 1950, there were way fewer people living on that part of Mauna Loa. Today, there are, you know, many thousands more living there. And you know, being given only a few hours to evacuate your house, that's not very long.
No.
So that would have been much more serious.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there, and you know, we saw Kilauea, we saw Mauna Loa. I mean, you don't even know you're on Mauna Loa because it's so big, right? Like, it's not mm-hmm. not the way you normally picture. Having seen volcanoes in places like Ecuador and so on, it's a very different experience
right.
when you see Mauna Loa. Was it in 1950 that sort of part of the town of where Hilo is now was created on what was left of that lava?
No, that was earlier.
Hilo right?
is, yeah. So Hilo is on a Mauna Loa lava flow, but it's about 1,400 years old.
Right.
I wonder if you're thinking of the lava flow that the Keahole Kona Airport sits on.
Perhaps.
So that's actually from a volcano called Hualalai, and that lava flow erupted in 1801.
Okay. I guess people will be keeping an eye, though, on the lava flows to see if they
sure.
do start to. What is there any sense of what the risk of that is right now?
At the moment, and I only know what I've seen on websites. I don't have any, you know, special communication with the volcanologists.
Right.
But from what I've seen on websites and from their reports online, the flow fronts have slowed considerably, mostly because they've come down off slightly steeper slopes and are now in what's called a saddle. And it's the sort of relatively flat area between Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea. And in fact, the highway that I think you mentioned a moment ago is called the Saddle Road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it goes through that saddle-shaped area between those two volcanoes. So it's approaching ground that's almost horizontal. And that's going to cause the flows to slow down considerably. And as long as new flows don't break out, which doesn't seem like is happening, that's going to be the situation for at least the next few days. If the eruption continues for a long, long time, eventually the flows will decide to go either downslope to the east or downslope to the west. And eventually it gets a little steeper and they might speed up somewhat. But at least for the next few days, I think the flows are not going to be moving very fast.
I was interested in people, a lot of people talking about VOG today, Scott. I guess it's volcanic smog. Is that a concern, I guess, in the area, something people are watching out for?
Actually, it's not so much a concern, mainly because the erupting vent is at a relatively high elevation.
Right.
And so the most of the plume, which consists of sulfur dioxide and water vapor, which combine to make the little droplets of sulfuric acid, which is what VOG is, most of the plume is staying high and not mixing down low where people are. That's unlike Kilauea, which, as you said, you went to visit. At Kilauea, the vents are considerably lower, and so the fog is kind of at the elevation of the people.
Yeah, Kilauea is still erupting away, isn't it?
That's true. That is true. So there is fog from Kilauea that's being produced, and certainly there is fog being produced by Mauna Loa, but again, it's staying high.
So I guess for the time being, really the biggest threat is traffic jams, right? I mean, there's been a lot of people flocking to go watch it.
I think you're right. It's a very well used highway, and people drive pretty fast along there. And I think it would be pretty hazardous to be walking along that highway in the dark, with distracted drivers whizzing by.
I imagine that every time something like Mauna Loa erupts, it gives an opportunity for scientists to look in to find out new things about it. What might we be looking for this time around?
That's a good question. I think one of the things that Mauna Loa is pretty well known for are these long lava channels. And I think, you see these in many of the helicopter images, and these are naturally formed channels. Basically, the sides of a lava flow cool and stagnate, whereas the middle keeps flowing. And these channels allow lava to flow to the flow front relatively efficiently. It's not as efficient as a lava tube where it's completely covered over, but it's still more efficient than flowing on cold ground. Anyway, lava channels are found on other volcanoes, and they're also found on other planets. And in fact, much of the study of lava channels has been done by people who mostly study volcanoes on Mars and Venus and the Moon. And so whenever Mauna Loa erupts, the chance to observe these long channels from vent to flow front is somewhat, I mean, it's pretty unprecedented. I mean, Kilauea flows produce channels as well, but they're usually not as long just because Kilauea is not as big a volcano, and the lava doesn't have to flow very far before it goes into the ocean. On Mauna Loa, on the other hand, because it's so big, the channels can be tens of kilometers long. And how these channels develop, how they evolve with time, etc., is something that not only terrestrial geologists, but planetary geologists like to study quite a bit. And of course, there's always a lot of interest in the chemistry of the lavas, which can tell us about how long it was stored in the volcano, what processes it underwent while it was in the volcano, and so on. And these can be used for understanding the plumbing system of the volcano, the supply rate to the volcano, and things like that. There are also studies of the seismicity associated with the onset of the eruption, as well as the ongoing seismicity. And these two are important to understand. So there's a huge amount of data are being collected during the eruption, and people are going to be using these data for years to come.
Scott Rowland, thank you so much for your time tonight.
You're very welcome. Take care.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think French fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.